and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Another week, another dollar. Hello, Ben.
A dollar? Are we getting paid now?
No, it's just a turn of phrase. Just a little thing I thought I'd throw in, just to be slightly different. I thought perhaps my intros have become a little bit predictable, so I thought I'd throw something else into the mix.
Oh, you got me excited then. I thought maybe we were finally monetizing the podcast.
Don't be ridiculous.
We could be sponsored by underwear or a VPN or something.
What would we like to be sponsored by?
PlayStation or Microsoft.
Microsoft.
Nintendo.
You just basically want free computer gear, don't you?
Yeah.
You're not thinking about what I could get out of this, because they'd send me all this stuff that I don't want. I don't need it. That I find the whole computer thing pretty dull, mainly.
Okay, what's a mutual thing then that we'd both enjoy?
Well, you could have all the stuff they send me. Mm-hmm. I might keep the odd thing if I like it. You know, if there's something that comes along, like the newest version of Mario Kart or something, I might hang on to that.
Well, I quite like that.
Well, but all right. Well, we could share that. You could have it. You could have it Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I'll have it Tuesday, Thursday, and the weekend.
But that means you've got an extra day.
All right.
Well, that's all right. You'd probably need the practice more than I would.
What about the extra day we just hook up and play online?
That's a good idea.
So there we go. So that would be something we could have. I don't know. Do they send you free stuff? Have you ever had free stuff from anything?
No. Other than people handing out stuff in the street. No. That's tragic, isn't it?
I managed to get a bit of free stuff in the past when I was a studio engineer, and we had a company that would hire our studio a lot to, they come in with someone from a company and they do lots of radio interviews throughout the whole day. And I sometimes get a bit of a product from them, sometimes alcohol, which was good.
Hang on a minute. I spent 2.5 years with you as a presenter on a London DAB breakfast show.
Yeah.
Got absolutely fuck all. And you're saying you got it as an engineer?
Yeah. And I got a lot of Cobra beer once. I think Cobra had just come to the UK. And they did this whole day of marketing their product, and they gave me a case of Cobra beer. The only thing about it was there was so much of it that I didn't really drink. It stayed in my house for quite a long time. And then when I did eventually drink it, I think it was out of date and I was ill, but I could never work out whether I was ill because it was out of date or ill because I drank so much of it.
What a waste.
The other one was Blavod, which I don't even know if that exists anymore. It was a black vodka.
It sounds Russian.
I don't know which company made it or whether Blavod was the company name, but they were really pushing this at the time. And it was one of those things where they were trying to get students that were going clubbing because it was black in color. If you put orange juice in it, I think it would go green. So there was like this whole thing about it's going to look weird. It's going to taste like vodka. But I think their secret ingredient was prune juice. I think that's what made it black. But me and a mate, they gave me a bottle of it. They gave me a bottle of this Blavod. And me and a mate polished that bottle off in a night. And, the next day. I think that was the worst hangover I've ever had.
Wow, this really would explain a lot. Maybe this is happening more often than we know, because I don't think we've ever met a competent studio engineer. Do you?
Well, me. I was particularly competent. When a studio engineer is different to the sort of engineer I think you're thinking about. Like, I would be the man sitting there pushing all the buttons on the desk, running the session, not making sure the wires were connected. I tell you, the best thing I don't know if it's the best thing I ever had to do, but the most controversial thing I ever had to do, this was when I was starting out. So I wasn't in the studio running the session. Somebody else was, but I was down in what they call the racks room, where all the sort of equipment is. And I'd have to dial into all the different radio stations that were doing the interviews with the guest we had in our studio for the day. And we had some big name model in. Linda Evangelista.
I don't know who that is, but it's quite a sexy name.
Well, she was a supermodel, right? So she came in. I don't know what she was.
What was she doing with the goblins in the rack room?
What if she was in the studio? I was in the rack room. All I did was make her a. I don't even know if I made her a tea or coffee. I mean, that was my main role. I couldn't imagine she would drink the piss that I'd make for her. But. She was doing all these interviews, but because she was so high profile and, proper supermodel, there was something that the radio stations that she was being interviewed by were told that they shouldn't ask. And I can't tell you what that question was. I can't remember.
Oh, Trev, that's the key to the whole story.
I can't remember what it was, but all I remember was we were live on Radio 4 on Woman's Hour, right? And they asked...
The glam years truly are behind you, aren't they?
Yeah. They asked...
Supermodels and Radio 4.
They asked the question, and I'm sitting in the racks room listening in, and I'm thinking, oh, God, they've asked the question. I think it was to do with her hair or something. It was something odd. And they asked the question, and they let it go. But then they asked the question again.
Ooh.
And there was like an intercom thing, and I just got this intercom message from the studio. Trev, drop the line. And I just had to press end call and drop Woman's Hour. Drop Radio 4. There are millions of listeners. Just drop the line.
Wow.
It's incredible. Those were the days.
Yeah. When we actually had a bit of power, or you certainly had a bit of power. I've never known power.
So there we are. There's my little bit of name dropping.
So this is just a long way of saying we're not sponsored.
We're not sponsored. How's your week been, Ben?
It's been okay. A bit of drama, I must say.
A bit of drama?
Yeah.
When you say drama, are you talking like drama that you've blown out of all proportion, that it's something little, or are we talking big time drama? Something that really deserves the title of drama.
I think it's very dramatic what happened to Boris, yeah?
To Boris?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't think it's, you know, if I've got some juicy news about Boris and you don't want to hear it, then fine.
Go on. Have you actually discovered how many children he's got?
Boris the cat went missing.
Boris, I knew this wouldn't be as dramatic as you were selling it. Boris the cat.
The life of a postman really isn't that sexy. Boris the cat went missing.
Right. Okay. And this has been your week. This is the most exciting thing that's happened in your week. So what's this got to do with you anyway? Did you nick it?
I didn't nick him, no. But one of my customers was very upset that her beloved Boris had gone missing. Big ginger thing with no tail.
No tail? Was it a Manx cat?
I don't think it was a Manx cat. I think it just hadn't got a tail.
Oh.
I'm not sure if it lost the tail or I don't know.
But had it amputated, it's had some sort of, perhaps some escapade it's had when disappearing in the past.
Possibly.
I'm more interested now in Boris's escapades because it sounds like he takes risks.
So she was very upset for the first few days and she obviously did the whole poster campaign or on the trees and lampposts and all this stuff. Have you seen Boris?
What's your relationship with her? Like, why are you seeing her every day? Is she out just looking for
the
cat? I'm a
postman. I tend to do the same route most days.
But I don't see my postman every day.
Don't you?
No, I mean, through the window, but I mean, he wouldn't be able to tell if I was upset over something. It seems to me that you have got quite a close relationship with this woman.
Well, hang on a minute. Well, first, use your brain. If you're going to go out and ask someone if they've seen your cat, who better than a man who is paid to circle your area for a living, huh?
You've thought this through, haven't you?
There you go.
You've got your excuse in. So you're the perfect man for pussy hunting.
So she was very upset about it.
And, did you offer her a shoulder to cry on?
I did not. I just sort of, you know, I told her I'd keep an eye out, which is all I could do. I hadn't seen it. God knows where it was.
And if you saw it, you'd rattle her flap or something.
Of course. Right. It's the gentlemanly thing to do. Then, of course, the Facebook campaign began.
Right, so now you're involved in a Facebook campaign.
I'm not involved in the Facebook campaign.
How are you aware of this Facebook? You're obviously friends with her on Facebook as well.
I was just told about it.
Oh, you're told about it. Okay, yeah, yes. Yeah, yes.
So the local hunting with the posters on the lampposts and the you know, cars and God knows everywhere these posters were, that didn't come to anything. And finally, after about a week, someone gets in contact with her over Facebook. We think we found Boris.
He shouldn't be that hard to spot if he hasn't got a tail.
I think they provided a picture so they could verify it with her, and she confirmed it was Boris.
Right.
He had been found. She was absolutely delighted.
She would be.
Now, you've mentioned it many times where I live on this podcast. Mm-hmm. I'm in the sunny East Grinstead.
Yeah, so I expect it had been lost on the estate somewhere, had it?
Yeah, I'm surprised ginger, one of the footmen didn't find it.
It was a ginger cat. It probably was mistaken for a fox. Been hunted.
So she very happily gets back in touch with this person. So thank you so, so much. I'll jump in my car right now. Whereabouts do you live? I said Manchester.
Manchester? Well, this is taking quite a twist. Manchester, that's fucking miles away.
She had confirmed that it was definitely Boris, tailless, big ginger Boris. She recognised him. It was... definitely him. And it transpired that what happened was, and it wasn't me before you start, a delivery person that I think it was an Amazon driver had jumped out of his van to deliver a parcel to another house. And in the meantime, curious little Boris jumps in the back of his van. He then ambles back to his van, slams the doors without looking and drives off. And then that's how Boris got to Manchester. But all's well that ends well. He has been found and returned. The question that bugged me more about the whole thing was, what the hell is a Manchester-based Amazon van doing in mid-Sussex?
Oh, that's the... You can tell you're a delivery person by trade. That's the one thing that's bothering you. What sort of route's he on? How are they working that? I'd get the union involved. It's dreadful.
I'll call the CWU.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how big a route might be. Presumably, the vans do have to travel round. Was the cat microchipped? Because how has the message got to someone in Manchester?
Well, that, again, is a part of the puzzle that I don't know. I don't know how on earth that someone in Manchester got to looking and found her Facebook page. Unless there's just some kind soul who, you know, it got shared and circulated so many that someone, friend of a friend, I don't know, God knows.
So when you see the owner now, is she's very relaxed, is she?
She's a lot happier to have got... Boris back, yes.
Good.
I just thought it would be nice to finish a week with a good news story about Boris.
It's a lovely story.
It's rare.
Have you ever lost a cat yourself?
No. We lost a dog once.
Did you? Did you find the dog?
I didn't. My father-in-law found her at the time. She went missing. She ran out into the woods and then didn't come back for hours. So he waited downstairs till about 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, sitting by the door, hoping she'd come back. And eventually she came back, absolutely soaking wet. Don't know. It hadn't been raining. Don't know where she'd been.
Don't know where she'd been. Incredible. No. We once lost one of our cats when I was a kid. I was very upset because he was lovely. We hadn't had him that long either. And
was this Bilbo?
No, this was after Bilbo. This was Max.
Okay.
And Max was, he wasn't the brightest cat in the world, right? We think he'd probably been taken away from his mum too early because he didn't seem to have any real natural instincts. He didn't really know what he was doing.
Is this the Max who would wait for the birds to fly away before he'd pounce?
That's the one. Yeah, yeah. But I think he was, I always saw him as a bit of a philosopher. He was very much always deep in thought, I think. I think the sort of mundane day-to-day things, he wasn't really that fussed about. I think mine was on deeper things. But anyway, so he disappeared. And the same thing, my mum went round the houses with a photograph and just asked people to look out for him. And I think about 2, maybe 3 days went by. And about midnight one night, my mum woke me up and said, he's back. And he just wandered back at about midnight one night. Turned out, after we'd done a little bit of digging, that he'd probably just been in the wrong house.
Okay.
Because our next door neighbour spoke to my mum the day after and said, I couldn't sleep and I was doing a bit of housework and hoovering and I moved the sofa and he was behind our sofa.
That must have been quite the shock.
Yeah. But I think he was, because he, you know, like I say, I don't think he really thought things through. We hadn't had him that long and maybe he just got confused and went into next door's house and just plonked himself down and went into one of his little philosophical periods.
I'm not even sure that was an accident. I think cats are very fickle. We've got a family's moved in our road recently and they've got two cats and they come over to our place for a bit of attention. We've been trying to lure them over so we can, you know, give them a cuddle. But then our big stupid dog spoiled the party. She wasn't having any of it. So now they're not coming back anymore. Yeah. But I think if you show them a bit of affection and a bit of food even, they'll stay at yours forever.
Yeah. I mean, they're fickle animals, a cat. I like a cat, but they are fickle. My dear old Nan, she'd sort of put food out for all the local waifs and strays. And the cats she ended up taking in over the years was incredible. Just every single cat would just, they'll turn up at hers.
Now, can I ask, is that an acceptable thing to do? Because to me, that means if I can sort of entice my neighbour's cat, because I do love cats.
Yeah.
If I can entice it over with a bit of food and get it to sit on my lap and love me and, you know, keep coming back. And then I get all the love of having a cat without any of the responsibilities of feeding it. Or having to pay the pet insurance.
Yeah, I mean, my nan would feed them. She would feed them
Oh, I'd feed it, like, you know, bits, but I wouldn't have to go out and get a load of cat food in.
Oh, she did. She bought...
Did she?
Yeah, loads of cat food she would buy for all the waifs and strays. And the foxes, she'd feed the... She had a fox that would knock on her door to be fed in the end.
Really?
Yeah.
Scared. Is that not a bit dangerous, having foxes and cats in... Was she ordering... Was she organising sort of illegal fights?
Cats and foxes don't fight very often.
Oh, I tell you what, a fox will go after a kitten.
After a kitten, maybe.
Not a full-grown, healthy cat, though.
No, I mean, our other cat, Heidi... She would, she'd stand her ground if there was a fox in the garden. The fox would never go near her.
Hmm.
But no, the fox would, so my nan would always feed the fox, right? And, she was sitting in her back room one night and she heard a rattling at the back door. Absolutely terrified her at the time because she thought someone's trying to get in. And when she went to check out what was going on, it was the fox. And then it would do it most nights. It would come and rattle at her door to say, well, basically, where's my food?
Wow.
My granddad, he used to feed the badger peanut butter on toast.
Well, that's spoiling it, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, but it was great. We'd put some peanut... I don't even know if it's good for him. I don't know if peanut butter on toast is... It's not part of the natural diet of a badger.
I was just thinking, could I Google, is peanut butter bad for badgers? But I don't think it would have any... answer, would it?
Well, it might do. Because, you know, like in the old days, when we used to have hedgehogs, we don't have hedgehogs
around. How many animals did you have? A menagerie?
There'd always be hedgehogs when I was a kid. They've all been run over the years. There's no hedgehogs around me these days. But we get hedgehogs and you'd put out a bit of bread and milk. And I think you're not supposed to give them bread and milk now. Again, the cat food, I think, is the right food to put out for a hedgehog these days, not bread and milk. But you'd always put out a bit of bread and milk and then you'd hear the snuffling of a hedgehog. My friend, her mum called the police. I think she called the police. You might have heard this story. I think she told it on the radio once. Called the police because she heard all this kerfuffle going on outside. Turns out it was two hedgehogs having it off. They make a right noise, apparently, when they're going in it.
I would have thought, I know the foxes can give it some welly, but I didn't know the hedgehogs could. While you've been talking there, I've just been Googling.
Yeah.
What can I feed badgers?
Yeah.
And I've got, Google's top... answer.
Peanut butter and toast there.
Five different foods. Do you want to know what they are?
Yeah, go on.
Number one, fruit.
Okay, yeah.
Number two, raw peanuts.
Peanuts, yeah.
Number three, dried dog food.
Yeah.
Number four, mealworms.
Yeah.
And number five, fuck me, peanut butter.
There you go.
I can't believe it's there. Triff, how close attention do you pay when you make a big purchase?
When you say big purchase, are we talking in the hundreds of pounds?
We could be talking in the hundreds of thousands of pounds.
Hundreds of Yeah, if I'm going to spend a lot of money, then I'm pretty keen to read up as much as I can about it. Because I'm a bit of a ditherer when it comes to buying something. If it's going to cost me a lot of money, I worry about it. So I sort of do look into it quite a lot.
Okay. I would, you know, if it goes over a certain amount of money, I will definitely look into things. I have been stung before in the past. As you know, the recent-ish story about me getting absolutely fleeced by an incompetent locksmith. I still can't laugh about that.
It still hurts.
But I read a story this week that a teenager in America, she bought herself a flat and moved into this, what they would call an apartment, but she skipped the bit where you go and do the viewing.
See, that's quite important. If you're buying a property, the viewing is a very important part of it. Because, a friend of mine, sorry to interrupt and hijack the story, but a friend of mine, her and her husband, they decided that they were going to invest in some properties that they would then rent out, okay? Mm-hmm. So they started to buy some properties at auctions, and they bought one where they didn't go to view the property. In the description, it said something like, there is damage to the rear of the property, needs renovating. And they thought, that's fine, we can do that. He's a bit of a roofer and builder, he can do it. Turns out, they bought the property, went to actually go and see it having bought it. there wasn't any back on the property. So there was like a big lesson learned there. I remember her saying to me, we'll always go and view a property from now on. So I think it's really important.
Were they able to fix it and make money out of it?
I think they put that one straight back into an auction. I think they might have lost a little bit of money on that one.
Okay, right. Well, this young girl, it was her first place, didn't bother going to the viewing and got the apartment, thrilled. Then she gets there and after a day or two, she starts wondering to herself why she's not seeing anybody her own age at all.
Right.
And why all of her neighbours appear to be at least over the age of 65.
Okay.
Then it turns out someone comes around to visit her in a new property and congratulate her on all this and just sort of points out that they think she might be living in a retirement village. And she's 19.
Wow. Surely there'd be other clues when you arrive, wouldn't there? Wouldn't there not be a sign?
Well, there may have been a sign, but she's obviously not the most observant girl. And then she did say, bless her, she's looking on the bright side of things. She says, it's nice. It's like having lots of different sets of extra grandparents to look after me.
I bet she's being mothered like nobody's business.
Yeah. And the other thing was, by the way, there was a sign. There was a massive sign at the entrance to the place saying senior citizens apartments. And one other thing, fringe benefit, which I hadn't thought of, was that she comments how nice and quiet it is at night after about 6 p.m.
I'll tell you what, it sounds ideal to me.
And they'd be quiet, wouldn't they?
Be very quiet. That sounds... I think there'd be so many advantages of moving into a retirement village as a younger person. I think that I don't know why I haven't thought of that. Because it would be. It'd be really quiet. You wouldn't have anyone pumping out loud music late at night, or very unlikely that that's going to happen. There'd be an endless supply of Werther's Original that you could probably cadge off people. So that's a bonus. There'd be lots of stories about the past. You could learn from the wisdom of age. The only downside would be whether you'd have to get involved in bingo, which is awful at any
constant
time.
Flow of private ambulances.
Yeah, you'd have to get used to loss quite quickly. I mean, as a young woman moving into that, she's probably not going to want to bring back her friends. Do you know what I mean? She probably wants to bring back younger friends, but she can't bring back younger friends in case they make a noise. So there'd be disadvantages on that.
Yeah, her name would be Mud so quickly, wouldn't it?
She'd be ousted, wouldn't she, in the end?
Oh, I think so. She'd be driven out of town, but chased very slowly out of town, I imagine. I just thought, I mean, she's obviously taking this in her stride, but it's obviously quite a big mistake.
It's a huge mistake.
And it got me thinking about buyer's remorse. And other than that dreadful locksmith shyster, I can only think of one other time when I parted money and then really had buyer's remorse quite quickly. I was about, 17, 18 years old, and I had money to burn. And me with cash on the hip is a dangerous thing. It doesn't stay there long. And I thought it would be a great idea to buy myself a fruit machine.
A fruit machine?
Yeah. Because I, I was just, like I say, 17, 18, I was just sort of getting into enjoying the pub and, trying to recreate the sort of pub vibe, but in my bedroom. So what does a pub have? A fruit machine.
They're not going to be cheap, are they, a fruit machine?
I parted with about 200 quid.
Well, that to me seems cheap, actually. I thought you were going to say like 2 grand.
No, I've never had 2 grand to spare in my life.
I don't know much about fruit machines. I'm suggesting if you're getting a fruit machine for 200 quid, it's shit.
It wasn't terrible.
Okay.
And it ticked all the boxes of everything I was looking for. It weighed an absolute ton. It took a team of about 3 blokes to get it up the stairs.
And were you still living at your parents' at this stage?
Yes, my extremely patient, loving parents.
Did they know you'd bought it?
Yes, I think they knew, but didn't think it would concern them too much because there was no reason it should, really. So I got this thing, set it up in my room, and I played on it for about 5 minutes. And then I won a small amount, and I thought, well, hang on.
That's just what you've been putting in.
This is all my money. What I've basically bought here is a massive, unnecessarily expensive, humongous spare change box that makes noise.
Yeah.
And I realized that about 2 days into having it, and I thought, The novelty's worn off, because even if I don't win, I can just open it and take my money out. There's no jeopardy to this. It's just an eyesore.
Yeah, because I suppose that's the thing with a fruit machine, is it's not actually the joy of just playing it, is it? It's the joy of winning the money that isn't yours.
Yeah. So when it's your own money and you're not at the pub with your mates, it's far less appeal to a fruit machine.
How did you find one to buy?
Yeah, I can't really remember how I got it. And I can't really remember how I got rid of it either.
That was my next question. Did you... so you don't know. You don't know whether you sold it on. Did you just dump it?
I don't think I sold it. I think I would have just dumped it.
Not fly-tipped it.
Believe me, I couldn't have fly-tipped this thing if I wanted to. It was far too heavy. Maybe we paid the council to come and collect it.
I mean, it could have been worth something now. Was it like a vintage one? It wouldn't have been for 200 quid. It must have just been like an old one out of a pub that wasn't needed anymore.
No, it really wasn't that. I don't think it was going to be considered a classic fruit machine. I remember it, whenever you sort of went up the features on it, it would play the opening beats of, what's that song? The Freaks, The Chic? What is that?
Yeah, The Freak.
Yeah, so it would just occasionally go, ah.
Oh, that would be really annoying. How often did that happen? Because that would really annoy me.
From memory, it didn't even give you the payoff. It didn't go, freak out. It would just go, and then stop, man. Which is really annoying.
If my child had brought that home, he would have been having to find his own place very quickly. And so annoying. Wow, that's quite a buy.
So you've never really had that sort of same scale of, what have I done with my money?
Not really. I mean, I remember buying the NES when I was, I don't know what I was, about 14 or something. I'd saved up to go and get it in Argos. But I bought it really just as the Super NES came out.
Right.
So, although I was glad to have it, it was sort of old hat by the time I had it, and getting new games for it became a bit more difficult. And I got bored of it quite quickly. As I mentioned earlier, computer games have never really... Like, I get interested for a little while, and some games I quite like to play with mates, but I've never been one to sit at home on my own and play computer games. So I used to get quite bored with it. And I thought that was months of saving up pocket money and, you know, all that sort of stuff to get this thing. And I was like, this is a bit disappointing in the end.
That's even worse when you're young and you've actually saved up for it and had your heart set on it, and it hasn't really delivered.
I mean, it got a lot of use. My mate would come round and we'd play Mario, and that was probably all we played, the three Marios. I remember having there was a game we had to, was it called Duck Hunt?
Yes, I think, I've played that, where you aim the gun at the screen.
Yeah, and I didn't have the gun, but I borrowed one off of a friend, and I think I borrowed his game. I don't think I had that. I think I borrowed the game for a while. That was quite good fun. I remember that.
Yeah, that's good.
But apart from that, no, I don't... I'm trying to think. My last laptop cost me an absolute fortune. There was a lot of regret about that. But,
oh, God, I remember that laptop.
But I don't know if I could really have done anything different. I think if I'd researched something a little bit more, I could have saved myself probably a couple of grand. And it means that I won't buy an Apple again because I don't need it. I had to get Windows.
It wasn't Apple's fault.
What is their fault for making things that don't work on it?
They didn't. They made an Apple. Someone out there made some software that wasn't compatible with Apple. It wasn't the other way around.
No. The software had always been an Apple bit of software. Always. Right? In recent years, they made it for Microsoft Windows, but always Apple.
So not always then. This is not Apple's fault.
It is Apple's fault because they shouldn't be putting out a new operating system where existing software doesn't work on it. I hate that. I've got such a beef with it. It's basically, whenever I buy technology, that's really what I regret. I regret not buying the technology. I regret that I've become so dependent on technology because it's always a disappointment. Technology never lives up to expectations.
I remember you spent thousands getting that laptop to work that software.
It still hurts. And I treat this thing like it's a baby because the amount it cost me in the end, it's got to live a long time, this computer.
See, you have the same thing as me. That's your locksmith, isn't it? That's the one thing that you just still can't quite joke about, that the money that went into that laptop.
Yeah, it's too painful. All Are you a fan of a taxi ride, Ben?
That's a very odd question. I a fan of a taxi ride? If I want a taxi ride and I have a taxi ride, then I'd say yes, I'm a fan of getting a taxi if I need one, yeah.
Does it stress you out when you're getting into the taxi? Because I get quite anxious about a taxi ride. There's a lot of social awkwardness that can occur in a taxi ride, isn't there?
I've only had one awkward experience in a taxi, and I was on the brink of losing my rag with this taxi driver because there was an error, but it was so clearly his, right, and he was accusing it of my mistake. So, yeah, I'll tell you it quickly. Basically, what happened was I got into a taxi at East Croydon station, and I asked to go to where I used to live in South Croydon, a place called Selsdon.
Yeah.
And was in the car about 5 minutes, and I'm sitting there thinking, well, it's not for me to say. I mean, this man's done the knowledge, but this definitely is not the route I would be taking to right. get to Selsdon.
Yeah.
Another 3 or 4 minutes go by, and I think, right, something's clearly wrong here. So I've got to speak up, because otherwise we're wasting my time, his petrol, and potentially my money.
Yeah.
So I speak up and say, are we going to Selsdon? And he said, no, you didn't say that. You didn't want to go there.
Well, where did you think you said?
I don't know. I think he turned around and said, no, you said South Norwood. And I thought, well, A, Selsdon sounds nothing really like South Norwood.
Not really.
And B, what's more likely, Mr. Taxi Driver? Is it more likely that you've misheard me, option A, or option B, I've got my own address wrong?
Was this a black cab?
It was a black cab.
I mean, what you've got to remember is the black cabbies, never wrong, Ben. Never wrong.
But I think he... Before he really started arguing, I think he probably came to that conclusion himself that in all likelihood, I know where I live. So he decided not to put up too much of an argument and just then corrected his route. And I think to his credit, didn't charge me for driving me halfway to South Norwood for no reason.
Fair enough. What's your ideal ride, though, when you get in a cab? Do you like to sit and engage with the taxi driver? Do you like to sit in silence? What's your preferred option?
Once I'm, convinced and happy that they know where they're going, my preferred option, and it's going to make me sound like a grumpy git, is I like silence.
Yeah, I think I prefer that. It depends on what the conversation might be. If a taxi driver starts talking to me about politics, I don't really want to be getting into that, particularly if I've been out, had a nice evening. I don't want 10 minutes of intense political chat with a taxi driver.
I mean, if they could tell me a really interesting anecdote, then I'd be all up for that.
It's unlikely, isn't it?
It's very unlikely. It tends to be the smallest of small talk, so boringly inane. Holidays. I mean, I haven't been in a cab for months, so I imagine there's even more boring coronavirus chit-chat to be had at the moment.
Yeah. Football's a big one, isn't it?
I do like a game of football, but I'm not the biggest fan in the world. I don't keep up with it. I don't know what's going on. I think Fulham just got relegated, didn't we?
Yes, your
team.
Yeah,
we're down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to read that through Twitter, so I didn't... that's how much I'm not following football, really.
Right, okay.
But if they had an interesting story or a once-in-a-lifetime anecdote, but they don't. And like you say, I don't want to get dragged into a political debate because in all likelihood, I think we're going to be quite different.
My best taxi drives happened in America, funny enough. The first morning I was in Florida, I left the hotel where I was staying and I wanted to get a bus to get to the Kennedy Space Center. That was like my big thing to go and do. And I walked out the hotel and I got there in the dark the night before, so I hadn't really taken in my surroundings. But it was on this massive sort of dual carriageway and I couldn't see anywhere where there might be a bus. So I went back into the hotel and I went, so where do I get a bus from? And they went, well, there isn't one. There isn't one around here that stops anywhere near here. So she said, where do you want to go? I said, it's Kennedy Space Center. So she ordered me this cab and this guy turned up in his beaten up old car and I thought, oh god, he's Cletus come to take me, right? But over the course of the, because he dropped me off and then he came to pick me up that evening, we'd arranged that, and then the next day I just thought, well, I've got your card now, so I'll phone you. And then throughout my whole time I was there, I used him, and I ended up going with his family to SeaWorld, right? And then they invited me to dinner. They were nice people.
You have just reminded me of a cab driver I took in Florida who was a lovely guy. I've probably told you this story before.
Probably the same bloke. Was his name Brian?
No, his name was Nick. I remember his business card, Nick at Night.
Nick we at got Night.
Lost. Yeah, we got lost the following night, and all we had on us to try and save ourselves was his business card, and he came and rescued us. He was great.
Wow.
But whilst, you know, he was obviously very excited to have, you know, an English couple in the back of his cab. And I don't know how it came about, but we ended up talking about guns. At which point, he turns around in his seat and hands me his loaded, unsafety switched on pistol.
Fucking hell, he didn't know you. I would never trust you with a loaded gun with the safety catch off.
I know. And he was just explaining to me how it worked and what it was. And yeah. I thought, you are an amazing man. You have known me for all of 5 minutes.
Amazing. I'm in the back of your cab. Just and, thick, mate. It's just
and
thick.
And you have armed me. But he was a lovely guy. I tell you what, I know how clumsy I am. I couldn't wait to give that gun back to him.
Wow, that's quite a thing, though. That's quite a thing.
Oh, he was amazing.
When you were in the States, did you go and fire a gun anywhere?
No, I'd like to.
There was a place in Florida that I visited, and there was a gun range, but I think you had to be a member, so I don't think you could just go in and pay to give it a go. But I was sitting there. I was waiting for my taxi driver, funny enough, to come and pick me up, and I'm watching all these people arrive and just walk out their cars with different guns and just walking into this place.
Wow.
And I did think, even though I'm so against the ownership of guns, and everything about a gun, literally and metaphorically, would make me recoil. I think there'd be something quite invigorating about firing one.
I would like to know how all the years and years of dedicated video game shoot-em-up experience, how much that would translate into my actual accuracy with a real gun. I would love to go and find out if I can hit a bullseye.
If you'd done, like, when I was in the Cubs, I think we did air rifle shooting. I remember doing that at some Cub event once, but I don't think that's quite the same as a letting off a Magnum 42 or whatever they call it. So anyway, back to taxi drivers, right?
Yeah.
So basically, there's this guy called Cameron who runs his little taxi firm, and he's got a little menu on the back of his seat. So when you get into his car, I just think this is brilliant. He gets into his car, he's got a little menu for the sort of ride you might want. So
that's a good idea.
So number three on his list is the silent ride. If you want the silent ride, you just let him know. Number three, he'll shut up. Simple as that. But he's got lots of other versions. He's got the funny ride. He'll tell you jokes or embarrassing stories from his life.
And do you know if these happen to be at different costs? Is the silent ride cheaper than the joke ride because he's got to put on more of a performance?
He doesn't say anything about that. I would imagine that you might have to reflect that in any tip, maybe, at the end of the ride. So there's the awkward ride. You can have the awkward ride if you want.
What's that?
So the awkward ride is you get in, ignore the menu completely, and then everyone sits in silence for the remainder of the ride. It's got the karaoke ride.
What, where he lets you sing or he sings with you?
I think he'll sing with you. He says, we'll rock out to hits from the 80s and early 2000s or anything you want.
That must take some commitment to stick to that. Imagine getting up in the morning, you've had a blazing row with the wife, you've stormed off to work, you've got bills to pay, and you've got some twit who wants to sing a load of 80s classics with you, and you've got to go through with it.
He does, this is what I'd like, he does the bubbles ride, where you blow bubbles the whole journey.
Is that safe?
Yeah, well, they're see-through, aren't they? It's not going to impair his vision. Unless one bursts in his eye.
Exactly, a blinding bit of soap in the eye when going 60 miles an hour.
I'm assuming he's wearing some sort of PPE. Yeah, some sort of eye protection, just in case. There's the small talk ride. You can talk about how crazy the weather's been, and you ask if you caught the game last night. Basically, everything we've talked about, you can have that.
Everything that I hate. Okay.
Yeah. You can have the therapy ride where you vent to him about all of your problems, everything that's pissed you off, and he'll just listen.
Again, that better be reflected in the price, because I don't want to end up getting out and paying a therapy price. That'll be a very expensive cab journey.
You can do the cliche ride, which is you ask him all the cliched questions, things like you ask him how long he's been driving for. There's the drunk ride, where you can throw up in his car. I don't think he'll mean that. I'd imagine if he throw up in his car, he's not going to be happy.
I think there's a thing where you've got to pay them extra, haven't you, if you vomit in the cab?
I think you have to pay for any cleaning if you vomit in a cab.
Can you open the windows in a taxi?
In a black cab, yeah.
Yeah.
My friend, I don't know if it was a black cab, it might have been, I think it was an Uber, but he was going to be in an Uber cab, open the window and throw up out the window, but it went all down the side of the car. And the Uber driver wasn't happy.
Well, I was going to say, if the windows don't open, then that really is their problem, I think.
Right, okay. So it's not your fault for getting pissed up and vomiting.
Yeah, that's not the only reason people vomit. Okay. Might be car sickness from his shit driving.
And finally, you can pick the creepy ride.
The creepy ride?
The creepy ride.
What the hell is that?
Where he won't say anything at all, but just keeps staring at you in the rearview mirror.
I like that.
Well, there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Just before we go, we like to do a few recommendations. And I've recently watched on Netflix, it's a trilogy of films called, the first one's called Page 8, the second one's called Turks and Caicos, and the third one's called Sorting the Battlefield. And it stars Bill Nighy, and Helena Bonham Carter's in it. It's a really good cast, and he's a spy, basically. It's sort of espionage based storyline.
Oh, he's quite good, Bill Nighy. Yeah. I know his sister.
You know his sister?
Yeah, there's a bit of showbiz trivia for you.
Wow, okay. How do you know her? She lost a cat somewhere.
I used to go to the same pub as her.
Well, that's amazing. That's really me. I tell you what, that's really weird, because this is when you lived in Selsdon, presumably.
Yes, it was, yeah.
I used to know someone else who was at the same hospital radio that we were at, and she was an older woman, a bit of a pain in the arse, if I'm honest.
Charming.
But she once said to me, by the way, I just put her in a little bit of context. She would basically rail at you about anything. She was always right. You could never sort of have any other conversation. When I interviewed her about joining the hospital radio, she was very forthright, shall we say, during the interview. And she said to me, some people would say I'm very assertive, other people would say I'm annoying. Which would you say? So, well, you're certainly forthright. So that was very difficult. But she once said to me, I do know Bill Nighy, so I could probably get him involved in any charity fundraising we need to do. We never did pick her up on that, because I wasn't sure I believed her, and secondly, I didn't want to have to speak to her any more than I really had to. So by accepting that sort of invitation would have meant probably having to have meetings with her, and I just thought, it's not great actor, probably a lovely man, but the bonuses of having him on board and fundraising are far outweighed by the negativity of having to sit with this woman on a regular basis. But that was all Selsdon, so there's obviously a link there.
There you go.
Isn't that weird? So anyway, he is fantastic in it. They're cracking films. Well worth a watch.
Nice one. I'm going to do a blind recommend, because I don't know if you're aware of this, Trev. I'm sure you are, but as of yesterday, as at the time of recording, the first episode of Series 6 of Inside Number 9 aired.
I've recorded it, haven't watched it yet.
I believe it's called Wuthering Heist.
Brilliant.
So I'm thoroughly excited about watching that. There has only been less than a handful of Inside Number 9 episodes that haven't wowed me.
Yeah.
It's been incredibly consistent. It's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, and I'm also enjoying the new Alan Partridge series, this time with Alan Partridge. That's living up to all expectations so far as well.
Good stuff.
Lots to watch. So thank you very much for listening and downloading. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us anytime. We're at Trev and Ben on Twitter. And we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.